Madeline Whittier lives in a bubble. For 17 years, her life has been confined to the pristine white walls of her home due to severe combined immunodeficiency, a condition that makes her, as she puts it, allergic to the world. Her only connections to the outside are her physician mother, her nurse Carla, and books that arrive vacuum-sealed and decontaminated. Her days follow a meticulous routine. Online classes, she excels in literature, modified Scrabble games with her mother, and elaborate fantasies written in the margins of her books, picnics in flower fields, tea parties in lighthouses during hurricanes, midnight swims in bioluminescent waters. Her 18th birthday celebration is predictable. Vanilla cake with minimal frosting, fewer ingredients means lower allergy risk, familiar games, and their traditional viewing of Young Frankenstein. Ironically, a film about another creature isolated from the world. This carefully controlled existence reflects something universal, the tension between safety and risk that shapes all our lives. Many of us construct metaphorical bubbles, avoiding potential pain by limiting our experiences. Madeline's white room, with its filtered air and absence of contaminants, represents both protection and prison, a paradox that resonates with anyone who has ever chosen security over possibility. Everything changes when a moving truck arrives next door. Through her window, Madeline observes Ollie, dressed in black, performing parkour stunts with fluid grace. When their eyes meet across the distance between their windows, something fundamental shifts in her universe. Their relationship begins with window communications, Ollie performing increasingly dramatic scenarios with an indestructible bundt cake, culminating in last rites performed in a bathrobe and oversized cross that finally makes Madeline laugh. They progress to emails and instant messaging, deepening their connection. Ollie's mathematical mind sees people as outputs for a set of inputs, suggesting changing just a few variables could transform someone entirely. Madeline convinces Carla to allow Ollie to visit after decontamination. Despite maintaining physical distance, their chemistry is palpable. The sunroom, with its glass walls and artificial plants, becomes their courtship setting, simultaneously inside and outside, protected yet exposed. Their connection evolves from curiosity to friendship to something deeper. As their relationship deepens, Madeline experiences emotions both exhilarating and terrifying. Carla offers pivotal wisdom. Just because you can't experience everything doesn't mean you shouldn't experience anything. Their relationship transforms when Ollie catches Madeline during a handstand lesson. This first physical contact creates an electric moment that changes everything. Despite knowing the risks, they share kisses, Madeline describes as tasting like salted caramel and sunshine, and hope and possibility and the future. After witnessing Ollie's father punch him during a confrontation, Madeline impulsively breaks her confinement to help. This transgression brings harsh consequences. Her mother fires Carla and implements strict monitoring of Madeline's activities. The parallel between Madeline's physical confinement and Ollie's emotional imprisonment becomes clear. Both trapped by circumstances beyond their control, they provide mutual rescue. She gives him refuge from his turbulent home, while he offers glimpses of the world beyond her walls. Madeline escapes with Ollie to Maui, inspired by a baby photo of herself on a Hawaiian beach with her family, before her illness and the accident that killed her father and brother. She lies about having medication that will protect her. Hawaii becomes a sensory awakening. She experiences the ocean as an endless part of yourself you never knew but always suspected was there, feels sand between her toes, and tastes local foods. While snorkeling, she observes colorful fish and sea turtles, hearing only her breathing. Despite being unable to swim, she attempts cliff diving. The trip marks Madeline's sexual awakening, too. She and Ollie consummate their relationship in what she describes as discovering all the secrets of the universe. Standing in the ocean, she realizes, "I'm in the world, and too, the world is in me." She reflects, "I was happy before I met him, but I'm alive now, and those are not the same thing." Her desire for everything rather than her partial life becomes a powerful statement about human need for experience, even at great cost. Madeline's rebellion ends catastrophically when she wakes with fever, shaking uncontrollably. Ollie calls emergency services as her condition deteriorates, her throat swells, breathing becomes difficult, and her heart stops before being restarted with adrenaline. She returns to a bedroom converted into a hospital ward with her mother constantly beside her, asking, "How could you do this to yourself? You could have died." When strong enough to message Ollie online, Madeline makes the painful decision to end their relationship. Despite his pleas that his life is better with her in it, she responds, "But mine isn't." She can't bear the half-life they would have together. Afterward, Madeline retreats into nihilism, reading only existentialist literature and losing patience for happy endings. She deletes Ollie's emails unread and performs her old routine mechanically. When Ollie's family finally leaves his abusive father, Madeline watches from her window but withdraws when he waves. Madeline's world collapses when Dr. Francis emails her with shocking news. She never had SID, only myocarditis from a viral infection. Her immune system is weak from isolation, not disease. When confronted, her mother briefly freezes before dismissing the doctor's claims. Sleepless and suspicious, Madeline searches her mother's office for medical records but finds nothing. Caught in the act, the devastating truth emerges. Madeline was never sick. Her mother confesses that after losing her husband and son, Madeline fell ill once and she couldn't bear to lose me too. Consumed by grief, she fabricated an elaborate lie that imprisoned Madeline for 18 years. This revelation transformed the narrative from a story about overcoming physical limitations to an exploration of psychological trauma and extreme parental overprotection born from loss. After discovering her mother's deception, Madeline reconstructs her identity. A SCID specialist confirms she never had the condition, though her immune system remains underdeveloped from isolation, like an infant's. She confronts the question, "Who will I be if I'm not sick?" Madeline transforms her sterile room with colors, plants, and open windows. She releases goldfish into the fountain as acts of rebellion against her confined past. Her relationship with her mother becomes strained. Madeline locks her out while processing her feelings. Before leaving, Carla reassures her, "Not your whole life. You still have a lot left." Despite medical cautions, Madeline flies to New York to find Ollie. She tells her mother she doesn't know if their house is home anymore. In New York, she meets Ollie at a bookstore. His smile upon finding her message is worth living for. Madeline embraces that life branches in a thousand different ways. The novel concludes with her review of The Little Prince. Love is worth everything, everything, encapsulating the book's philosophy that connection and love are worth their inherent risks.